Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for that marvelous grace. All those gifts that you give us, Lord, freely through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, thank you for the gift of singing, that we can express our worship in such beautiful ways. Lord, thank you for the gift of a body of Christ to worship together with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us a clear conscience, takes away all the shame, all the guilt, all the fear, all the separateness from God. Lord, we thank you for every good gift this morning. And we just welcome you, Lord. You're already welcome here. We acknowledge that. We honor you. We desire that you could be the one that's exalted here today, that Christ would be magnified through our lives, through our words, through everything that's done and said. Lord, that you would get the honor, and that man would be in the low place and you would be in the high place, high and lifted up. Lord, be our God here today and in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We also have a special situation here today that I thought I'd let you know about, and I think we should pray about it together. Brother Aaron is supposed to have the main message today, and he is in bed right now with severe back pain. So we want to pray for him and also pray that God will show us what to do here today. Don't you like surprises? And I thought, I'd like to announce that, and let's listen to the Lord. You know, God is not surprised this morning, is he? He's got everything under control. So let's just listen to the Lord, and we're going to have a children's lesson. During that time, I'll be in the back, and if you feel God speaking to you of something, come and share with me. Maybe Mel will be back there too, and let's try to be sensitive to what the Lord has, and God will pour out something special on us today, I believe, and to us. So let's pray for Brother Aaron. Why don't we stand? I'm sure he's listening right now, and he would be here if he could. So let's pray for him, and these little testify. Let's lift up our voices together. Father, we do thank you for Brother Aaron. We thank you for the gift of him to this body, Lord, and for the wonderful things that you've done through him and in him. And we just lift him up to you today, Lord. We pray for him as he's on that bed. We pray for your healing touch to be upon him, God. We pray that you'd heal this back pain, Lord. We pray that you'd even bring him here, Lord. But, Father, we pray that the Comforter would be upon him right this minute, Lord. And, Father, we just thank you that you're in control. Bless him today, Lord. Encourage him this moment, Father, with a special touch from heaven. We're interceding, Lord. You're a giver of gifts. We pray that you give him a gift right now. Bless him, Lord, and bless the service as we seek you, Lord, for whatever you have today. May you have your way with us, Lord. May you do what you want to do today. Lord, we don't want to be in control. We want to give it all to you. So lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start with Brother Jeff Barker. And you want to come up this time, Jeff? Jeff has something on his heart that he'd like to share with us. We'll see how God leads. I want to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for our brother Jeff. Thank you for the wonderful gifts you've put in him, Lord, and his heart of Christ. We pray you'll bless him here today. We pray that you'll anoint him. We pray that you will speak to us through him. And give us ears to hear, Lord, what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't have any notes. I work in an office in my home, and so I have a lot of quiet time. I sit a lot, so sometimes I get up off my desk and I'll start pacing and praying and thinking. And sometimes my mind turns to you all. Things I want to share. One of the things I wanted to share was a thank you for many of you, how you had, before my daughter left home, many of you spent a lot of time praying and a lot of time encouraging her and a lot of hours and time blessing her. I didn't know if I'd ever have a chance to thank you, but the Lord opened the door up, so I want to say thank you. Thank you. I've loved you before that, but I love you because of that too. One of the scriptures that God has given to me in the quiet time is in Luke chapter 9, if you can turn there. Luke chapter 9. This block of scriptures I'm going to read is actually mentioned four times in the Gospel. Four times. So we're going to read it in Luke, but remember it's written three more times. Twice in Matthew, once in Luke, and I forget if it's John or Mark. But so Jesus really wants us to hear something here. Four times these scriptures are written. It's our Lord speaking. We're going to start reading in Luke 20, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. I think about this verse almost every day. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And if you stop and think about it, denying yourself is a life's work. So many aspects of our lives are self-centered. And when you think you have it in one area, and maybe you do, you're going to find there's a whole bunch more that you've got to give up. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. So I started saying that to myself, pacing in my room. What does it mean, Lord, to deny myself? What does it mean to deny myself? You know, I think about the Lord always brings me to His example. He did that for me. He says, well, look at my life. Jeff, look at your life. Look at my life. How He denied Himself. There's a verse, there's a scripture, there's a song, and Can It Be is my favorite song. And the Bible, and it says there in that verse, which really typifies Christ, one of the verses says He emptied Himself of all but what? But what? Love. I think that sums it all up right there. That's what it means to deny myself. I need to empty myself of all but love. Because when I love, I'm giving. Love is something I'm giving, because when I have a love for someone, I want to react to that love. I want to do something for them. I want to please them. I want to honor them. I want to give to them. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He emptied himself of all but love. And that was my answer to denying myself. I remember standing out in the yard one day thinking about this giving up, looking at the house, and I said, Lord, you can take my house. Now, I had the same job for 30 years. I've been still doing it. It's hard to let go of a job you've been working for 30 years. And the Lord says, are you willing to let go of that? And in my heart, I said, yeah, Lord, I can do that. Take it. He said about my children, I can do that, Lord, take it. It was hard. That was a hard one. And he said, my wife, those are hard things the Lord puts before you. But then as he brings those things before you, the reality of who he is gets clearer and clearer. I don't have any notes to find, so bear with me. But that's what he was telling me. He says, give it all away. Give it all away. And really give it away. Find somehow to see Jesus clearer as you're emptying yourself. But then he said, what about your pride? I thought I'd gave that away. I must keep picking it up, though. Brother Claire Zerman and I pray on Thursday mornings or Friday mornings, and I find myself confessing pride every time we pray. Because God shows it to me again in a different area, again and again and again. It's amazing. This thing of pride. But the interesting thing here, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, we have to do these things. We have to deny ourselves. We can't follow Jesus if we don't deny ourselves. Can't do it. And then he says, take up his cross. And this scripture says daily. Now, the cross is an instrument of death. It's used to die upon. And Jesus again is reminding us we need to take up that cross. We need to die upon that cross. Empty ourselves. Deny ourselves. And then follow him. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. And then I started repeating that word, lose my life. What does it mean to lose my life? Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Lose my life, and that means to lose my rights. We are so bent on rights, on hurts. I like what Mary Hirsch said about instead of being a victim, recognizing she was a sinner. We can take that, our hurts, and use that as a covering for our sin. We can make a lot of excuses, but if we're not losing our lives, if we're not giving ourselves and losing our lives for him, he says, whoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. We've got no choice. If we want to follow him, again, we've got to lose our life. We have to give up and give up and give up. The last time I shared an opening here, I took you to a courtroom scene. I want to go back to that courtroom, only it's a different scene. We had court again for Gabby, and the Allgaiers had to come for their little child that they had, Nathaniel. And it was to decide custody. And we were pretty sure we were going to get custody of Gabby. The father had convictions. One time he had to testify from jail at one time in court. The mother was pregnant with another baby from another father and no job. And I mean, we were just so sure it was going to happen. It was going to be on a Tuesday, and on a Saturday night, we felt the leading of the Lord to give up our rights for Gabby. She went home yesterday. so did Nathaniel. So it was an emotional time for us. We've been through a lot of emotional times lately. So on Monday morning, it was a holiday. I guess it was January 1st, maybe. I forget what holiday. Yeah, I guess it was. And I wrote a letter to the lawyer, to the judge, telling him we're going to give up our rights to Gabby. And it was a page and a half. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm sorry. But it had to do with the realities of trying to raise a child with our standard and having them come in with custody. They have they have visitation rights and their standards. And we just saw it wasn't going to work. And the stress that they had put us under, both sides had put us under, just when the times we had temporary custody, we just told the judge it's not going to work. And I couldn't get the information to everyone in time. I sent it to the judge, sent it to the lawyer. I tried to text the mom. So some of them didn't even know what we were going to do until we got into court the next day. And you can sense the tension in the courtroom. You know, we sit in the back bench here, and then you have the defendants. The mother sat on one side to my right where I was sitting, the father and the lawyer there, and you can sense the tension. You can sense the fact that they were going to start throwing mud every which way to make everybody look bad. And we all rose when the judge came in. She had gotten the letter. She addressed me. She wanted me to explain it. I wanted to read it, but she wouldn't let me, so she handed a copy to the mom, and she dismissed herself. The judge just left. The mom read it. The father knew about it and was, I guess, discussing it with the lawyer. And you can sense this melting of tension on both sides. I just had my head bowed, and my wife trying to hold back the tears of giving up our rights to Gabby. And you can, the mother had a meeting with the lawyer, and they came to a conclusion that they were all happy about. And it felt right. The judge came back in, and everything was settled. Everything was settled. Gabby would go back to her mom. The dad would have visitation rights, which at the time he was really happy with. I don't know if he's still happy with that or not now. The judge gave a blessing to the Allgaiers and us for what we had done, and then dismissed court. And we left. We got into the car, my wife and I, and we sobbed our hearts out. But we felt that it was God's will. God showed us the future. He helped us to see clearly what we were doing. And he made it clear to us. And it's not the end of the story. But this area of losing our rights is something we have to come to grips with in order to understand God's heart. Let's turn to John 6, John chapter 6. The day that my daughter left, the daughter Hannah left the home, I went alone. I think I went for a walk or something. And my mind turned to a lot of things. I was thinking about this church. I was thinking about, I'm just going to be honest with you, I was thinking about losing Brother Denny. I was thinking about the divisions between our churches and how that was kind of, how I realized how much I need stability. My mind went all the way back to when five families had left our church. That was such a traumatic time for me. And when they left, and then the situation with Denny and my own home family life, and the Lord, He brought me right to this verse here. In my mind, He said, in John chapter 6, I'll give you the background later, but I want to read the verse first. Verse 67, it says, "Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" In verse 68, he said, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'll tell you what, when I just said, "Lord, you love me so much. you just brought me to this verse and I was just washed. You know, circumstances can happen. Circumstances do happen that we don't like. But the God, Word of God never changes. It's never altered. And it just gave me such comfort. I don't know if you're following me, but all these things didn't matter as much as the fact that I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It makes Him become more and more real to us all. And you know, I have to admit there are times that being emptied and going through sorrows, I can actually thank God for. Because I can see Him clear. I can see Him clear. So I said, the Lord brought me to this chapter, and it was 71 verses, and I said, well, Lord, I'm just going to study it out. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But the interesting thing here in this verse is, Jesus was saying a hard thing. He was talking about difficult things, which in this particular context, it was talking about the... let's read a little bit in verse 53. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up that day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. And the living Father hath sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." So Jesus was giving what the Bible says in verse, let's find the verse, 60, a hard saying. Verse 60 says, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And I just stopped and think about that. Why was that a hard saying? Why was that a hard saying? But Jesus answers the question why it was a hard saying in verse 63. And it woke me up. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so, I'm not talking necessarily about the fact that we're talking about the Lord's Supper here, but the fact that Jesus was saying words, and in the ears of those people, they were not seeing it, receiving it in spirit. He said, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. And the flesh profiteth nothing." So, I'm understanding it clearer that the Lord is saying, well, I'm telling you spiritual things, you're not hearing them. And so they're a hard saying. And what did they do? That's the sad thing is, they left. "Many disciples therefore, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" Okay, verse 66. "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." And I thought, wow, Lord, help me to see through spiritual eyes. This whole book is spiritual. I was thinking when I was sitting in my seat, Brother Paul prayed for me, so I didn't pray again. I was going to pray that the Spirit would speak. But the song we sang just answered that anyway. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. The Spirit of the living God that dwells in us helps us to see things beyond our normal, even our normal understanding and clarity and what we want and how we perceive it. So I read the whole chapter and went all the way back to another point in John chapter 6. If you go to the early part of John chapter 6, it talks about Jesus feeds the 5,000. And it was a great miracle. I'm kind of going backwards here, forgive me. And in verse 15 it says, "And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountains alone. And that also made me think. If somebody wanted to make you a king, why would you run away? Why wouldn't you want that honor bestowed to you? Why wouldn't you want a people to crown you? Jesus said, he knew, he said he perceived that they would come. And they were going to make him a king. Now think about it. They were going to make him a king. They were going to bestow honor upon him. And he left. Why did he leave? Why did he depart? Someone want to answer that?
Time wasn't right.
Time wasn't right. That's right. And what, anybody else? That's right. Amen. His time wasn't right, and he was already a king, we know, as Luke said.
Wrong kingdom.
Wrong kingdom. That's good. Amen. Not the crowds. It's good. It was all earthly. Wrong kingdom. It was all earthly. It wasn't spirit. But the interesting thing that my mind went to, besides all those things, was that verse we read in Luke. He had to take up his cross. He had to die. You know, it helps me to start to see things clear. And even my own circumstances, I can wallow in my own pity, and I can, and I do at times, to be honest with you. But when I meditate on verses like this, I start to see things in a different light. And it really makes, it just illuminates something. It goes beyond my earthly circumstances. You know, one of the things, again, as I was pacing in my desk, I'm trying to think, our purpose in life is to give God glory. And sometimes we think we can give God glory when we have this in order. You know, a family may be in order, or you know, the expectations that you need to have. I mean, there are requirements in as far as elders and deacons, but as far as somebody like me, I could give God glory. I want to give Him glory. It's something that's, you know, I said, I thank God that He gives me opportunities in Lancaster City. I just, you know, I was telling somebody, it was Dwight, you know, I go home sometimes, most Tuesday nights, I go home so fulfilled because I can just share the Word of God. And my background is similar to a lot of those young people in the city anyway, and so I have something to identify with, and it's just very fulfilling. But I think our job is not to protect our image. Our job is not to present something that's not true. Our job is to give Him glory. Simple as that, is to give Him glory, and I do add something onto that, preach the gospel. Because I enjoy preaching the gospel. It's exciting. If you ever had an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus Christ, I was talking to Calvin the other day. He had led someone to the Lord in prison. And one of the first things he said is, it's addicting.
Yes.
That's so true. It's so true. And that's spiritual. That goes beyond the veil that these people didn't understand here. I don't have much more. One of the things, how many ever read, Hinds Feet in High Places? I read it twice. I don't have a real good memory, but one of the things I so appreciated about that story, that allegory, was, I think the lady's name was Much Afraid. And as she walked, she kept getting things taken from her as she journeyed, if I remember right. You know, different things until she thought she had nothing left to lose. And then she stood there and she was standing on a, looking down on a valley, and the Lord had promised her the high places. The path went down through a valley, and it was called the Valley of Loss. And that valley was like the final emptying, the final emptying of yourself, the final losing of all your pride. You know, it's true brokenness. And one thing she said was, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase it because this is what I remember it, is, hey, I, you know, in tears, I can go through this. Just come with me. Take me, you know, be with me. Walk me through it. Take my hand. And that's kind of been my theme through some of my struggles is, Lord, I can walk through this. Just take my hand and walk me through it. And He has. And He does. He takes my hand. And He walks me through those difficult things. So I didn't have this planned out, so obviously. I just wanted to share. Again, I want to thank you for your love for us as a family, your prayers. And we pray for you too. We pray for our church. One of the things I've been asking God for our church is that You would bring revival. And one of the things that the Lord has showed me, I think we need before that, is brokenness. We need to be broken. And a brokenness is an emptying of ourselves. Is an honesty before God, an emptying of ourselves, and realizing that He, you know, even when we're at the bottom, He's still there. And He's not looking down on you either. You know, the Bible says that we can be yoked together. He's, you know, yoked is a closeness. And the Holy Spirit is within. And so He's not looking down when we're at the bottom. He's probably, I mean, I know He's there with us, wanting us to lift up our heads to Jesus and see Him clear and clearer. So those are just some of the thoughts I've had recently. God bless you all. Thank you.
I appreciate that word. That really ministered to me. You know, when God does something in a life, that affects other lives. It's not just a theory or a verse. I thought of this verse in Acts chapter 14. You know, the Apostle Paul returned to the people that he had led to the Lord. And in verse 22, it says that he confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And that tribulation can come in many different ways. Persecution. One of the ways it comes is when God brings us to the end of ourself and says, give it up. And that's not easy to do, is it? Is there somebody who wants to share a testimony along this message here today? God spoke to you, or you want to add to that, or... There's one right here.
Yeah, as Brother Paul said, we heard the message of a life this morning. Your brother Jeff talked to us this morning about the heart of Christianity, which is a person. It's beautiful. Who shows us how to lay down our life, to take up our cross? Jesus. Every command of Christ is a description of something about Him. And then He writes it on us. And so we didn't see Brother Jeff up here this morning. We saw Jesus. That's Christianity. But you know, those who overcome and those who share in His sufferings also share in His exaltation.
Praise God.
And that answer is perfect. It was the cross. He had to face the cross. The cross every day and that final redemptive cross at the end of His life to be exalted. You know, Satan's temptation in the wilderness was a way around that. So that's kind of the bottom line of every temptation. We'll go Jesus' way, we'll go the way around it. You know, everything we face in life is an opportunity to learn to know Him. We only learn to know Jesus by walking with Him through things. And that's what Paul was talking about. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. So whatever we're facing is a new opportunity to learn to know Jesus. We learn to know Him by walking with Him through things and knowing Him in that thing, the way He related to the Father and the way He responded to all these things. We learn to know Him. And in that, we come into the fellowship of His sufferings, which is the sweetest place on earth. It's the sufferings that He experienced every day in doing the will of the Father. It says if we arm ourselves with the same mind as He had, 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll be free from sin if we suffer as He suffered. For he who has suffered is freed from sin.
Amen. Have another one?
Yes, I've been very touched this morning, and I realize that in my own life, I have things that I'm hanging on to. And as Jeff was sharing, I realized, you know, in my past, I have come to times where I've had to give things up, and I have, and I know that God's grace is there for that. And as I pray and give the things up that the Lord showed me that I'm hanging on to, I want to trust His grace to do that. And I'm just so thankful for this message and just to see Brother Jeff and his family going through difficult times and yet seeing the purifying of the fire.
Amen.
And the grace upon their lives. I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
My wife and I just got back from a trip back to visit her family and my family in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And my dad's been sick for a number of months, is in bed right now. And out here I didn't know how sick he was. And I got home and I was with my folks for a week and I saw my dad for about 2 hours. And they're having a very tough time financially, and I was having a tough time and going, Lord, what am I supposed to do? How can I help my parents? And I was checking my email last night, and my dad emailed me something. He said, he was just praising God and saying how awesome of God he serves that takes care of his family, and how wonderful his family is that God gave him that cares for him. And it just hit me, you know, God's taking my father through the fire, and here I am wanting to lift him out of the fire. But I just saw last night through Dad's email, he's coming through as gold. And hearing my dad's testimony and then hearing Jeff's testimony just overwhelmed me. And Jeff, I want you to know I love you guys and I'm praying for you guys very much right now.
I don't want to just dismiss this message this morning, but I want to agree wholeheartedly. Past week, we were traveling home from a trip, and a car was coming up the other way on the same lane, and I just feel so small of God's all His protection. And I just want to learn more about His humility and how I just agree, Lord, just with how Jeff and love the family there too.
Yeah, it spoke to my heart, Jeff. I mean, it was another way of saying the things that God's been speaking to me. At the Bible school that we had here, I taught for a week on humility. And So I guess it's not too surprising that God would be showing me my need in afresh and my pride, my need of Him. I need Him. That old Paul is, he's really proud. He's got to go. And just to spoke to me, God's been showing me in my home that I act too much like a king instead of a servant. And so as you were speaking, that again, in another way, showed me Christ. That's what I want to be like.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.